Praise be Jesus and Mary. So yesterday, Sunday, we closed out the Christmas season celebrating the Epiphany of our Lord, his manifestation to the nations as a little child as expressed and experienced by the visit of the Magi to Bethlehem. Today, liturgically, we celebrate a second appearance or manifestation of Christ. This time, approximately 30 years later, when he was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. Now, when someone or something is manifested to us, there are two ways which we can see it. Either we can see it with the eyes of the body, or we can see it with the eyes of faith. Seeing something with the eyes of the body refers to material sight, as those of you here, a few of you who are here, who can see me as I stand here in the sanctuary and preach to you, you see me with the eyes of the body. Seeing something with the eyes of faith refers to spiritual sight, which means seeing or understanding from God's perspective, from God's point of view. And that's actually made possible when the Holy Spirit dwells within us and he gives us that second sight. We may call it a second sight. Those who see things only with the eyes of the body or with the eyes of the flesh are typically unbelievers. And many times you'll hear unbelievers or non-believers say something like this: "Well, if God exists, why doesn't he manifest himself? Show me God, and I'll believe in him. Show him to me." But to the non-believers or doubters, one of the best responses that we can give comes actually from the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament, in chapter 29 of the book which he wrote, when he says this. We read, "Surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for your harm, to give you a future with hope." And he says this, "When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord." It's Jeremiah 29, 11, and 13 through 14. So the non-believer or doubter who actually, who actually seeks for the Lord with a sincere heart will find him. God will manifest himself to them. He or she will eventually receive the eyes of faith if they sincerely ask God for such a grace. But even those who already have the eyes of faith, who already have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them, and who know and love the Lord, can at times hear themselves saying this, that if God loves me and listens to my prayers, then why doesn't he send me a sign? Why does he hide? Where is he? Such is often even the heart of the psalmist in the book of Psalms. For example, who at times clearly sees God's powerful hand in the world and in his own personal life, but at other times is cast down by sadness and despair because of life's difficulties. In such moments of difficulty in our lives, well, we need to either open wider the eyes that we have, the eyes of faith, or as someone might say, we might need to ask for or put on spiritual glasses because we're not seeing as well as we should be. And this even reminds me of the example of a man in the gospel who brought his tormented son to Jesus to heal him. And he said to Jesus, "If you are able to do anything, have pity and help us." Our Lord replied, "If you are able," he said, "all things can be done for the one who believes." And St. Mark tells us in his gospel, immediately the father of the child cried, "I believe, help my unbelief." It's Mark 9, 22 through 24. So many times that's what we as Catholics need to pray. You know, "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief, give me a stronger faith." And it's also helpful to remember and to hold on what we hear in the book of Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 5 through 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." Now, to both non-believer and faithful Christian or Catholic alike, God offers not only the Scriptures, so it's not only sola scriptura, as some may wrongly affirm, but God also offers the concrete solution to his apparent absence. That solution, of course, is Jesus Christ himself. In Jesus, God manifests himself personally. He doesn't send us a text message or a letter or a picture from the iPhone of himself. He actually comes in person to be with us and to be one of us. Those who have only the eyes of the body saw Jesus and lived with him. And those who had also the eyes of the faith saw him as well, but they saw him for who he really was. In Christ, God became one of us, not only taking on our flesh by means of Our Lady, but also by taking on something else, which is, unfortunately, also very near and very dear to us, which is our sins. In the feast we celebrate today, Christ is baptized by the hand of St. John as a sign that he fully identifies with sinful humanity, because John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Jesus was completely sinless, and yet he chose to receive John's baptism as a sign for us that he fully understands and fully identifies with all the problems that we have in our lives, which in one way or another all trace back to sin, to offenses that either we or others have committed against God. And not only does Jesus understand and identify with our pains and difficulties, but he also has come to take them away from us. As St. John says, St. John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," he proclaimed when he saw our Lord. That's from John chapter 1, verse 29. And as a sign of approval and even rejoicing on behalf of the Godhead for the tremendous act of love and humility done by Jesus in receiving John's baptism, St. Mark tells us in his Gospel this, that on coming up out of the water, John saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon Jesus. And then he heard the voice of the Father say to our Lord, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." So in Jesus' baptism, we see not only a public manifestation of him as being the one who takes away the sins of the world, but we also see a manifestation of God himself, of the Blessed Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so then we can say, therefore, with confidence that in Jesus Christ, the God who hides is truly hidden no more. He's hidden no more because he's fully revealed in Jesus. So in today's feast of our Lord's baptism, we see that Jesus is the God who is near to us, the God who has come in person to be with us and to rescue us from sin and from death. And for those who are in a state of grace, God is also living inside of us, inside of our souls. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit reside in the souls of those who are friends of God. And so in truth, God is nearer to us than our closest friends or even our closest loved ones. That means, of course, that after his death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, some 2,000 years ago, that Jesus did not abandon us. He's present to us not only in our souls, but he's also personally and physically present in the Blessed Sacrament. That is, on every Catholic altar where his sacrifice is renewed, and in every tabernacle where his body remains, in order that we may come and adore him in person, even outside of the celebration of the Mass. So let us therefore thank God for the appearance of Jesus on the scene in history, because thanks to his appearance and thanks to his continual presence, we, his followers, no longer walk in darkness or in despair. We, his followers, now are able to live in this life not only with the use of the eyes of the body, which everyone has, but also, and more importantly, we have the gift and the grace of the eyes of faith. With the eyes of faith, Christ is always present to us. He's never absent. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," declares Christ in John's Gospel, chapter 14. So let's take him at his word when he says that. He loved us enough to die for us and to pay for the penalty of our sins. So let's begin living out the grace of our own baptism with a renewed commitment to being his disciples, to loving him and to serving him truly in all that we do. Loving Jesus, whom God the Father has manifested to us, loving him in our thoughts, in our words, in the way we speak, and in the choices that we make in life, actually brings true freedom, true joy, and true peace to us. And let us, of course, thank Our Lady, lastly, the one who here on earth made our Lord's coming possible, and who is now waiting for our own manifestation in heaven when this earthly life is over, in heaven, where she and her son are joyfully preparing a place for us. Praised be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.